The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or you can send us an email to ray@rte.ie. Now, the numbers of non-traditional weddings and ceremonies are on the rise. So are the people who celebrate or are celebrants at these days. I was just looking at the stats. It's 50% now Roman Catholic weddings, and the rest are other religions and non-religious. I'm joined in studio by three celebrants. Yvonne Cassidy is an independent celebrant. How are you doing, Yvonne?
Hi, Ray.
Good to see you.
You too.
Brian Whiteside is a humanist celebrant. How are you doing, Brian?
Very good. Thanks, Ray. Thanks
for coming
me
in. And Enda Hart is a spiritualist celebrant.
Hi, Ray.
All very welcome. So I'll start with you then, Enda. So a spiritualist celebrant. So let's make it easy for people. You take on the role of the priest, I suppose.
I suppose our job on the day is to hold space for the couple that are getting married, be it same-sex or a bride and groom. If they want to include some religion, they can, as we nod to their background, or if they have a belief system. So if they want to have some religious elements, like a song that has a religious reference in it, or prayers, or religious readings, you can. And if you don't want to include any of that, that's fine too.
You're a spiritualist celebrant. Mm-hmm. So is that an official title, spiritualist celebrant?
So, I'm a member of the Spiritualist Union of Ireland. So we're classed as a religious organisation. We're based in Dublin, and we have celebrants all over the country that can legally marry you on the day.
Okay.
Our belief system, to sum it up in one sentence, will be that we do have belief in an afterlife, and we do believe in God, whatever you may call it.
Right. So give us an example of the couples who have come to you in particular.
All kinds of walks, all kinds of backgrounds. They're young, they're old, they're coming from America.
Would you have to chat with them about why they're not going down the traditional route?
Absolutely not. It's their decision, whatever they want to have. Once a couple have the day that they want, I'm happy out. So if they want to have Metallica walking up the aisle, they can. If they want to have a reading from Dr. Seuss, I'm happy out. Once they have the day that they want, that's me. My job done as a celebrant.
And you're recognised by the state?
Yes, so I'm what's called a registered solemniser with the HSE, which means I can legally marry them on the day in the venue.
Right. And that wasn't the case up until about 5 or 6 years ago, Brian, was it? Because you're a humanist.
Yes, it was. Now, we're different from the spiritualists in that we don't believe in God.
Yes.
Yeah. Humanism is an ethical life stance that places human values at the centre of its philosophy. And unlike the spiritualists, we had to, I suppose, go the scenic route. When we looked to get recognition as legal solemnizers first, we were told, no, you have to be a religion. The spiritualists are a religion, so they got in under the religious legislation. We had to get the law changed. So we got an amendment made to the Civil Registration Act in 2012, which allowed for secular ceremonies.
And it came in 2013?
It came in 2013.
I know this because when we went to the registry office initially, they said you're going to have to get married in the registry office and then you can have your wedding then wherever you have it.
Absolutely.
And between February and August when we got married, the law changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it meant that with a humanist...
So you were 2013, right?
Yes.
All right, I'd forgotten that you were that year.
So we were one of the first.
You were.
We were one of the first.
You were.
So the humanist solemnizer was the official one, so we didn't have to do it on the double.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, before that, we were conducting a lot of weddings, but the couples would have to go to the registry office as well.
Okay.
And we argued with the government that there was a demand for this, that Ireland was changing. And I think one of the things that fascinates me is the way Ireland has changed. And I think I'm very lucky. I've been involved in the Humanist Association since 2002. And in what I've been doing, I've been watching Ireland change at very close quarters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well like back in the 90s, nearly 90% of weddings...
Over 90%. In 1997, 97% of weddings were in the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
And, we look back and we wonder, was everyone religious then? Well, I think that in those days, you were either religious in Ireland or else you put up some sort of a pretense because it was very difficult in so many ways to say that you were not religious.
Well, to get anything done, enter into the world, as in, you know, baptism, naming ceremony, to rites of passage around teenage years, you know, that they have that sewn up as well, getting married, and then dying as well. They were all the things that were done by the Catholic Church.
Exactly. And, you know, in those couple of decades, it's all changed, and Ireland has become a much, much more secular
country. We still have 50% of the people in the latest CSO who decided to
absolutely
get married in the Catholic Church.
And please understand that I'm not bashing the church or anything like that. I come from a very religious family, and I would never do that. You know, it's each to their own. But it's great to be able to do what feels
Ireland,
right for
Ireland
you.
Has changed, and you've witnessed it.
Yeah.
Yvonne, unlike Enda, I should say, and I've just changed your sex there, Enda and Brian, you are a celebrant, but you're not recognised by the state.
No, so I'm an independent celebrant. So basically, I suppose, a lay person who has trained professionally to be a celebrant.
Right.
So it's independent. There's no agenda, there's no association with any belief system or philosophy. It's really client-led and client-focused. And I suppose the couples that the likes of myself would really appeal to are the couples who maybe feel in the same way that it would be hypocritical to go into a church and have a church wedding if you're not Catholic. It would be hypocritical to maybe have a different type of
spiritualist or a humanist
if they don't identify
with
those beliefs. So it's important that there is this option.
Mm.
And unfortunately, we don't have the legal status.
And do
yet.
You feel aggrieved that you don't have the legal status?
Do you know, it would be nice to be able to offer a full legal ceremony.
So what happens with you now? They can get married in a hotel or whatever, wherever they like.
Really, wherever.
Side of a mountain, whatever they like.
Yeah, so, I mean, the beauty of it is that there's complete freedom.
Mm.
You know, because you do the legal separately with the HSE, your ceremony can be whatever you want.
But you have to do it on the double.
You have to
go into a registry office and do all that.
But there is, you know, there's a positive to that, because I would always recommend to people, you know, don't do it the day before, maybe do it a couple of days before and use that opportunity to have a dinner or have a nice lunch with your family and friends before the chaos then of the wedding day when everything is just a bit hectic. It's a nice opportunity to sit down and just have a relaxed kind of get together with your family and friends before the wedding day.
Before. And everybody does it before as opposed to after.
I think I've had maybe one where they haven't already completed the legal part.
Why did you decide you wanted to be a celebrant?
I kind of came about it in a roundabout way. I was I'd had a baby and I was reevaluating life, as you do, and I was looking for the work-life balance, so I decided to train as a wedding planner.
Right.
And it was for an assignment as a wedding planner that I had to find out about all the different ways you could get married in Ireland. And I got married in 2011, and the choices were limited then. So I was really fascinated to read about humanist ceremonies and spiritualist ceremonies, and I thought, this is great, you know, that there is so much more out there for couples. But then I read about independent celebrants and independent ceremonies, and that really struck me, that you could have a ceremony that was completely independent, whatever you wanted it to be, and then there was people who had trained and were professional celebrants who could deliver that for you.
So you're just like a ringmaster. I suppose
stage director.
We get called all sorts of things.
Do people come to you with odd requests?
Do you know, I haven't really had an odd request. No, I have one coming up where they're using Game of Thrones words in their vows, but that's really about it.
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had anything mad or crazy.
And why did you decide to be a celebrant?
Would you believe, when we were planning our wedding back in the day, we booked
your...
a big thing, 20, it's not that long ago, 2016 we got married, but we're planning it about 2 years. So we booked the venue, we booked the band, and then everything kind of goes on hold for a while, and you have this spreadsheet of plans and what you're going to do and get around to do, and then all of a sudden it's January, it's like, we need to organise something. So the reason we picked a Friday was because we wanted to have like a civil wedding, and then nobody was available, and then a bit of a panic stations, and then through one thing or another I came across spiritual ceremonies, rang them up in a bit of a panic saying, listen, I need to find someone to legally marry us on the day, and like, relax, yeah, no problem at all, we've 5 people available, who would you like? And then we met a lovely lady called Bernice, and she did our wedding back in 2016. then after that it was kind of there's a bit of a calm down after the wedding. You have all the big build up and it's kind of like, this is really, really nice. I really enjoyed working on the ceremony and all that, so I got chatting to Bernice, and then I started with spiritual ceremonies, doing my training, and then I did my first wedding then in December of 16. So yeah. It's been
And would the wedding be bespoke? Can people include whatever? Yeah, you said that already.
Yeah,
it can be metallic or whatever.
So
we better ask you, Brian. You mentioned already that you're from a religious background.
I was brought up Church of Ireland.
Church of Ireland.
My family were quite religious, but I just never quite got that bit. I think I asked too many questions and didn't get satisfactory answers.
And were there vicars or Anglican priests?
My brother, who's sadly no longer with us, he was ordained in his 50s. He had been a teacher. He was ordained in his 50s. And my sister is married to a Church of Ireland clergyman.
Okay.
So they were all around.
Yeah, religious.
And in fact, my grandparents were missionaries.
Right.
So, you know, there was a lot of it there. But I questioned everything, and I just never really felt that it was for me. And I think it's so important to have a sort of a worldview that fits you. And for some people, it's religion. For some people, it's not. Now, some people maybe don't think too much about it. They're too busy thinking about golf or GAA or whatever. Believe it or not, I'm not a sportsman. And funnily enough, at a humanist meeting one time, there were about 40 people there, and I asked, can I just ask a question around the group who's heavily into sport? And only about two people were.
Right.
Now, that's unusual in Ireland. So there must be a little bit in your...
Your theory is that
oh, it's not a theory, it's just an observation.
An observation.
Maybe there's a little bit in your brain, and if it's not occupied with sport, maybe...
I suppose part of what you're saying is that if you're brought up in a religious sort of environment, that you don't have to think too much about it.
Yeah.
That to rebel against it involves thinking.
And I suppose, I always say I was incredibly lucky because I took a lot of chances in life. I gave up a good steady job when I was 21. I was working at the bank. I mean, that was what you did if you didn't get into college in those days, banker insurance. And I threw it up in when I was 21 and went off to Australia, became a hippie and grew my hair long and all that sort of thing. And then
I still have long hair.
My haircut this morning, especially to meet you. And then I realised it's radio, it's not television. When I came back, I said, goodness, what am I going to do? I'm 24, I better try and get a job or whatever. And I got involved in a business, and I was terribly lucky. I won't bore you with the details, but it worked, and I ended up with a small share in a company, and we built it up. And at the age of 53 in 2002, I was in a position where I was able to sell my share in the company and sort of reinvent myself. And just at that time, I was wondering, what will I do next in life? And I learned that the mother of a very good friend of mine had died. This was over in England, and I was in England at the time. And I went to the funeral. And lo and behold, as they say, it was a humanist funeral.
Uh-huh.
And that was my electric light bulb moment. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. So I joined the Humanist Association, got very, very involved in it. And I started off really just wanting to conduct funerals. I felt very drawn towards conducting funerals, but the demand in those days wasn't great for funerals. And there was a huge demand.
What's the message at a humanist funeral? Because we know the religious message.
Absolutely.
Is that they're going to a better place.
And I'm glad to say that there is a message, and I always deliver it. It's my little philosophical piece that I deliver at a humanist funeral. I talk about the continuum of life and how your influence goes on through those you've touched in life after you're gone. This is the legacy that you leave behind. And I think it's a very real message. I think for people who are sincere believers and are religious, heaven and eternal life and everything really mean something to them. But if you're of a humanist way of thinking, where you place your understanding of existence on the evidence of the natural world and its evolution rather than in belief in a supernatural power, you want something else. And I think that continuum, that legacy is very real. And in fact, I'm not often, but sometimes asked to visit people who are ill. And I was with a very, very ill man who's nearing the end of his life, and he asked to meet me. He wants me to conduct his funeral when he dies. And he asked me the question you've just asked me. He said, what is your message? What have you got to offer, so to speak? And I talked to him about that, and I knew It was his daughter who had phoned me, and I knew that he had three children. I knew he had a number of grandchildren. And I talked about those generations that he'd left behind and, you know, the connection he had with them and how he would live on, in a sense, through them. And I'd like to think that he got a lot from that.
It was comforting.
Yeah.
Yvonne, because you're totally independent, and mm-hmm. oftentimes when we talk about alternative weddings and getting married in the church, people, and I've read out emails over the years, and people said, the only reason I'm getting married within the church is to satisfy my mother or my mother-in-law or the family, or we don't upset them. And that's, you know. So do you get any of that where, you know, it's the couple's choice, but it may not be the family's choice?
Yeah, and I was just saying to Endon Brian, it's lovely when you have done a ceremony and maybe there is people from the older generation and, you know, from the start, they're not into this. They're like, why is she standing up there? What's she going to do? And at the end, they'll often come up and say, you know, that was really nice. I really liked that. It was real personal to them. I have had, unfortunately, where couples have come back, you know, had a consultation with them, sat down. We've gone through everything, discussed their ceremony, and they've come back and said, oh, you know, my mum and dad, they don't want, you know, they want us to go to a church or whatever. And some people choose to you know, abide by their parents' wishes or whatever, for whatever reason, you know. And
you're still doing a bit of the wedding planning as well.
So. I do. I wear many hats, yes. Yeah,
you're so the full package.
I'm a wedding florist and a bit of a...
Covers all bases. I was asking her, did she do makeup as well? No. But no.
So you do flowers?
I do flowers, elopement coordination, stuff like that as
elopement
well.
Elopement coordination.
So, you know, I work a lot with...
You're an elopement coordinator.
Yeah.
Go on, explain yourself.
Just people coming to Ireland. I mean, Ireland's a great destination, wedding location. So, you know, I'd work with a lot of American couples. And so I'll help them venue searches, vendor searches, stuff like that. I can do their flowers myself, but, you know, helping them find photographers and stuff like that as well.
But
so
my understanding of elopement is that it's in secret of, you know, that you're...
It can be, but people still want, you know, they want the pictures or they want, you know, they still want their hair and makeup done. So I'd facilitate finding them vendors and finding them a venue and stuff. And
so you're sort of a fixer.
Yeah.
An elopement coordinator.
Independent
celebrant. Yeah, you're great for a pub chat.
I like to be able to offer many services, you know. So
And what about you with and with families and, you know, people who may be stuck? You know, people who would have preferred if their son daughter got married in the church.
Well, I suppose that the kind of the hybrid or the kind of the compromise is that, well, listen, we'll have a religious reading in it, or we'll have prayers of faithful in it and stuff like that. And I suppose it's a nod to their upbringing and their background. So while they may not live and be as religious as they used to be many years ago, they still have a respect for, and they still have a certain amount of faith and still have a certain amount of belief system in it. They mightn't be churchgoers every week, but they're good living and they see themselves as religious in some form.
What's the law now around venues? Because you're official, Brian and yourself are official, so the venue has to be licensed by the HSE, does it?
Not necessarily, that's only for
civil ceremonies conducted by state registrars. It must be identifiable by an address and open to the public on the day.
And have a physical structure on it there.
So you can't do it in a tent?
No.
You can.
Can you?
If it's part of a public venue.
So. No, but you can't erect a tent on the side of a mountain.
No.
But you could do it wherever. You can erect a tent on the side of a mountain.
I can't.
The HSE has to be able to write out to the venue to confirm that this is happening.
Right.
So that's really the test. Okay. When you go to register your intention to marry with the HSE, the HSE write out to confirm it to the celebrant and the venue. So that's the sort of test.
Now, the crucial part of any wedding is when the couple say, I do.
Yeah.
Do you take this man or woman, you know, in sickness and in health? Is that basically the same across all three?
So while we do provide sample vows and booklets, what I always say to people is, here's some information for you. Please don't feel, I always give my disclaimer, please don't feel that you have to pick from this set list. It's just to give you an idea, because some people are like, I don't know where to start. I find there's a big difference between the Irish couples. We're very modest. We don't like talking about our feelings. So sometimes, like, what more do you want? Anti-hair could be the vow. we're kind of that kind of quiet. We're privately loving that kind of way, where it's like, I'll say whatever I want in the comfort of her sitting room, but I'm not going to stand up here in front of everyone. Whereas on that one day, they kind of find the energy or strength to say, listen, you're the one I want to be with for the rest of my life. Yeah. The American couples that I worked, they're much more vocal. Mm. Whereas, you know, when the stars aligned and the sun came up, and they really, 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 it's not for everybody, but look, I go back to it always, once the couple have the ceremony that they want and it's reflecting.
So they would say things, so John would turn to Mary and say, you know, when the stars aligned and
I had four pages of vows the other day on the Cliffs of Moher.
You'd
I had a lady with four pages of vows on the Cliffs of Moher. Because it's their one day. It's their one day that they can get to say all these things.
So it's like an ode to the write out all of this and they read it out.
It's kind of like it's a very, very personal ceremony. It's a very, very personal thing to them. So, you know, with elopements, you can have just two people and the photographer and the videographer is the witness. Or you might have a lot of times now families join them on their elopement. So it's kind of a group honeymoon. So it's, you know, hi guys, we're getting married in Ireland. Who wants to come on our honeymoon? So they all kind of come along because Ireland is kind of on everyone's bucket list because we're a great country. Yeah. We've got fantastic people. We've fantastic locations all around the Wild Atlantic Way. Castles, hotels. It's kind of unbelievable the stuff that we can do.
I think with elopements as well, people really do put that extra bit of themselves into it because they've come from the States or Australia or whatever, so they really put...
The change to this type of ceremony, you know, all our types of ceremonies, has done so much good for country house hotels, hotels, all of those sort of venues, castles that were maybe crumbling 20 years ago while the church was thriving. Now they're really thriving. And
well, because you can go and do it. It's a one-stop shop.
And it's a very nice way to do it, of course.
What do they charge? That's what they want to know.
That's what everyone wants to know.
Yes, what do you charge? You're not going to tell me.
Generally, my fee to conduct a wedding ceremony would be $470.
Right.
Mine would be 450.
Right.
We're all around the same, I think.
They're all around the same. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
I think it differs countrywide as well.
Yeah, well, if you're travelling long distance, you might travel more.
I was at the late Fred O'Donovan's humanist funeral in Harold's Cross. It was the best hooli I was ever at, says Cormac there. And, oh my God, Enda is the guy who performed my nephew's ceremony last year. It was the most special ceremony, especially as those of us who wanted to offer up a prayer were allowed to. My first time to be at a civil ceremony, and it was magic, says Caroline. Great to hear Brian Whiteside show how humanists pushed for couples to celebrate marriage in Ireland. Humanist ceremonies are legal and fabulous. Humanist naming ceremonies and funerals are personal too, says Barry. Is there enough of you to meet the demand?
It's very hard to know. The demand is going up all the time and there's such a wide variety of people. I mean, I was amazed when I met Yvonne today. I mean, I was aware that there were a number of independents, but she's in a sort of an association of independents, which numbers about 150. Mm-hmm. Right. I was just gobsmacked at that.
Yeah. How many humanists?
We have about 35.
And what about spiritualists?
We're about 43.
43. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you're all there.
They can. And there's about 7,000 priests.
Yeah. So Yvonne Cassidy, I'll just give. So you're outnumbered. Yvonne Cassidy, Brian Whiteside and Enda Hart. And you're available for... You just do weddings. You're available for funerals.
Yeah, weddings, naming ceremonies and funerals.
Oh, you do funerals.
Celebrations. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay. And what about on the way in? What about... what's your equivalent of baptism?
We do naming ceremonies. Welcoming ceremonies. I'm actually retiring as a wedding celebrant in September.
Right.
I've been doing it a long time. I was originally, as I said earlier, I was originally drawn to funerals. And the demand for funerals has really increased greatly, so I'm going to concentrate on that.
Right.
And naming ceremonies.
Okay. That was fascinating. Thanks for coming in. Enda, thank you. Yvonne, thank you. Brian, thank you. We take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.